I'm Tommy Gimler. Did Peyton Manning teabag a female fitness instructor at the University of Tennessee? And if so, and the lawsuit that followed was settled in 1997, then why in the Sam hell did people give a shit about it in 2016? We'll discuss this non-story.
And I'm the fabulous T-Sean. And for all you golf fans out there, the West Coast swing is in full effect on the PGA Tour. Cue the Flo Rida.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
A duo tonight, T-Sean and I.
Intimate.
Give me like an adjective that starts with a D that we can go with.
Diminutive.
The diminutive duo, the fabulous T-Sean and Tommy Gimler tonight. Coming to you live here at the Daily Upper Decker Studios. Of course, you can find us online at thedailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and of course, on Vine.
A lot of marketing right there.
Should we start an Instagram? What can we do on Instagram?
You got to do some gramming, man. Ah. We're gramming.
A Snapchat, something like that. Just put up a Snapchat and just like, Peyton Manning, teabag the chick. That's it. That's all you
just
say.
Put up a photo of ball sack and you're in good shape, buddy.
But then it disappears.
Just a fleeting glimpse of Manning ball sack.
Peyton Manning, teabag the chick. Or did he?
See. Are we talking about that?
What's happening? Jump right in. Jump right into the hot mess. We have a lot to discuss here on the Daily Upper Decker tonight. So let's jump right in to the hot mess.
The hot mess.
T-Sean, your boy Peyton Manning allegedly teabagged a female trainer when he was 19 years old at the University of Tennessee. And a lawsuit against him over it was settled in 1997. Apparently now, 20 years later, this is a story, and there are many, many people out there who are pissed because they thought that the NFL kind of put Peyton Manning up on a pedestal and said, this is our golden boy. This is our perfect human being, and apparently that's not the case. I don't remember them ever pushing him like that. They were just pushing him as a good quarterback. So, I honestly think it's a non-story. Am I right on that?
I mean, come on now. What college quarterback didn't have his nuts in everyone's face?
I used to teabag
dudes. Any time. Even at, like, the whoever at Miami of Ohio last year was, like, had his nuts in many a lady's face.
It's part of college.
And you know what? And actually, in today's day and age, some of the ladies are maybe better off. You know, the gentlemen are more manicured now. Like, back then, I'm sure Manning had some hairy nuts. And with a little bit of that cayenne seasoning from his Louisiana origins, you know, that shit tasted like a big pot of crawfish.
She should have been thanking him.
It's true. She's well fed, as well as got to spend a little quality time with the star quarterback at UT, as they say in Tennessee. And for the record, you know, Peyton Manning only became my boy with the move over to the Broncos.
To the Broncos, yeah.
Mind you, I was, you know, it was hard not to admire the fact that he had the fucked up neck and returned and was amazing. And so, you know.
Brought me two fantasy championships in my Wisconsin league back home. Two championships.
Brought me two second place championships, actually.
That's not a championship. Excuse me. The kids are all calling them ships. Brought me two ships. Two Wisconsin fantasy ships.
That's because kids don't know how to, like, talk these days.
I'll tell you, Idiocracy. Right. Check out the movie. Championship in 2016 has become ship. What is it going to be in 2506?
Shit.
It is. The whole Fuddruckers,
two
the Budfuckers
shits.
Thing.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious.
Won the shit! We won the shit!
I love shit! I actually rewatched Idiocracy just because I felt like I had to. And honestly, you know, with our current political landscape, you know, going between a former WWF champion and Donald Trump, it would be a real toss-up. I mean, come on. They're both just as outrageously bombastic could be.
We're going to come back to politics with Manny Pacquiao in the hot mess
later.
I do
love some serious talk here on the Dud.
We're trying to get our listenership up to three. So you gotta bring in some other things.
Come on, number three.
We sat down with the old program director over at Crab Diving, and they were like, hey, we've been on two for a while here. It used to be one.
It did, right. And then like a different guy like kind of wandered into his buddy's cube at work and was like, what is this? You're like, you're in, you're number two.
So we were up to three, and then Barry's grandpa died, and it was
Down, back down.
Yeah. It was a weird story. But anyway, so Peyton Manning. So I don't know where they're getting teabagging from. So everybody, came up that.
Seems specific, I got to say.
Well, like, this is. So
considering we don't know what Jameis Winston did with that girl like last year.
I'm assuming it was a little more than a teabag.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, like, how do we know that? And again, unless it's a sort of a flavor profile, like I was intimating around, it's like Emerald. Bam! You know, you got the, woo! That's some ball sack right there, Peyton.
The woman who filed the lawsuit and the what was she, a fitness trainer or an instructor, whatever she was. So she sounds like one of those girls. Like she almost sounded like a character out of PCU. Remember that movie?
Yeah,
we're not going to protest.
Right.
So she had 27 complaints, and number 27 was the one that Peyton Manning was addressed in. It was an unnamed athlete, now later identified as Peyton Manning. It said that he pulled his pants down and exposed himself to her as she was bent over examining his foot after asking her several questions. So, you know, he's...
And that's before yoga was popular, so that would be a little strange.
Yeah. Well,
no downward dog.
And that's like pre-Urban Dictionary. This is 1996, too, so it maybe
I think that whole act has to... I think we should make an entry.
The Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
We might have to get Andy Ostroff, Fabulous, on that.
Yeah, that's right.
The Peyton Manning. So I don't know. Like, to me, if it happened, right, and
like,
she
who's
did...
making a big deal out of it? Truthfully,
America in 2016. That's who's making a big deal out of it. So it's like...
I'm not there yet.
ESPN makes sure that Hannah Storm is on the story. Jemele Hill. And they make sure that they get all of their female reporters in here. And they all sit there and they're like, this is a travesty. This just wrecks everything I've ever thought about Peyton Manning. It's like, hey, this is something he did 20 years ago. 20 years ago as a 19-year-old kid. It was settled in a lawsuit. The year later, it's over with.
He was chugging Southern Comfort while this girl was nibbling on his nut. I mean, what do you want? I mean, come on. He's in college.
He's a star quarterback, number one draft pick.
I've partied at the University of Tennessee. I had my nuts out. I mean, that's just how it goes.
That's how you roll.
How it goes.
Dude, I was trying to teabag you 2 weeks ago at wine tasting.
We weren't at the University of Tennessee. It did not go over well.
You're at the University of Paso Robles.
That's right. Weird red wine dripping off your... Anyway.
So she had 27 complaints. One was that she got teabagged by Peyton Manning. The other one was that other athletes called her breasts midgets. She had tiny boobs. So it's just someone who just like feels... Who probably just was just literally one of those PCU students, you know? And just probably kept a little diary, all this shit, everything written down and...
Well, truthfully, I am astonished. I don't know about this. I do get a good dose of my sports center in the morning, so I don't know. This seems kind of it's only a story because, of course, Peyton Manning's going to be a story until we hear if he's retiring or not.
That's like it's almost the way of the NFL with Brett Favre. It was the same thing.
Just keep feeding the even this is like a whole . Sideshow, little unimportant. I mean, they really are struggling, actually, with the no NFL. It's funny. Like, they're already talking
it's hysterical,
about draft
right?
and free agents and all. It's just like, ugh.
ESPN's, law analysts. Like, you know, they're it's so funny that you work at ESPN? Oh, yeah, what sport do you cover? Oh, law.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I think his name is Roger Cusack. Like, and they do this shit because people are so stupid in this country that they just watch and they repeat whatever they hear. He, lumped him in with Bill Cosby.
Roger Cusack,
he lumped him in, and it wasn't
like
he was saying that,
over his head, in your eyes, the light, the heat.
No? I wonder if he's John Cusack. Yeah, he's got to be. They're all related.
He's like Cooper Manning, man. I'm telling you, he's the weird Cusack that didn't quite make it. So he's he had the famous sister actor Joan. You got John, and then there's Roger.
Speaking of someone who needs to be teabagged, there probably looks like someone who's getting teabagged.
Another Roger.
Joan Cusack at the age of 60. Jesus. Imagine what that's going to look like. She looked rough at 30.
That's true. She would just pay to watch Peyton Manning teabagging someone.
Oh, my God. Look at that. That's Joan Cusack getting teabagged. Oh, wait. No, that's just Joan Cusack.
Oh, she just looks like she's got balls on her face. I see.
So yeah, people are definitely and I think you're right that there's a shortage of stories right now, so that's why it comes out.
I'm
again, it's people are talking about the NFL.
These are kids in college, man. just drinking some Southern Comfort.
All right, before we move on here in the hot mess, come up with one other player that you could see teabagging their trainer.
Oh,
like, even in the NFL.
I mean, I don't really find that there's, like, a... I don't find that there's a dearth of, of people who would, like, anybody. I don't know. Like, who? If there was a... I don't know. This is a weird question to me. I just figure if you can teabag someone, just do it.
I could see,
like Nike, right?
I could see someone like Tony Romo doing it.
How about that?
He seems like a teabagger.
Like a just a ball sack, just teabag it. And then you're just like, you know, there's kind of like a face below it. I don't know. I think that shirt would sell.
Roger Goodell could buy it. He could buy, actually, if you sold it for $10 million, if you sold each shirt for $10 million, he could buy 3.41 of them. Oh, just based on his 2014 salary. Moving on here in the hot mess, Roger
weird
Goodell.
Mathematical segue.
Well, those shirts would be collector's items, I think. I think they'd be pulled from the shelves pretty early. Walmart wouldn't carry them. Roger Goodell made $34.1 million in 2014. And now remember, Tyshawn, the fabulous Tyshawn, this was the same year that he botched the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, and Greg Hardy situations. That's where he made 34.1. And I was shocked to learn that this was down from 2 years earlier when he made $44 million.
Yeah, no, this is down. This is a down year. I believe last year it's already come in that he made 50-some last year.
But they don't have to report it because 2014 was the last year that the NFL acted as a tax-exempt or nonprofit. So now they're a for-profit organization, so they don't have to report how much he makes anymore.
Interesting. I could have sworn, like, I guess squeezed in behind these other Manning and his ball sack reports that ESPN was talking about how Goodell made like over $50 million or something last year.
I could see it.
Yeah, it's kind of astounding. Let's see. Has anyone ever earned so much for bringing so little to the table?
The Kardashians come to mind. That's a good one.
That's interesting. Let's see here.
Like you go back and look at like you could even like start looking at like contracts like Mo Vaughn,
right?
Bobby Bonilla, Jason Schmidt in baseball, stuff like that.
I think there's definitely a number.
Albert Haynesworth.
There's a number
in the NFL.
Of Haynesworth. Yeah, I always remember that. That's a funny one. Like he was the first like kind of lineman to make mega money.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Redskins, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and that was
because he was on the Oilers/Titans.
Yeah. Right.
And he kick stomped a player.
Also from Tennessee. I bet his balls were in some other.
That's why these
space.
Stories are tiny. Yeah. All right. So that answers our question. Number one, what player could you see teabagging their trainer? Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
What player has earned so much money for not bringing anything to the table other than his teabagging balls? Albert Haynesworth is the answer tonight.
Who else could we? I mean. I
there's so many. Some of like the NBA contracts. Like remember Bobby Jackson?
Yeah, Bobby Jackson
got like $84 million, and he was
Denver
just a
Nugget.
Sack of
he
shit.
Was great. He was also on Sacramento.
Yeah,
that's where he got his. That's where it was his ride. He also had the sweet socks. He was one of the the pull up socks.
That guy's got great socks. Yeah. We should give him $84 million. Anybody object?
Yeah, sometimes that's all it takes. He had a good run. I remember that particular run Sacramento had in the playoffs and. Bobby Jackson. He was like a sixth man, too. It's kind of fucking ridiculous.
Well, he seems like Roger Goodell seems to be like the meteorologist. Like it's just one of those jobs, right? The meteorologist, where you can just do so many things wrong and you still get a paycheck, like a good paycheck.
There are a lot of some of our finest leaders in business fail upwards in this very same way. I mean, if you think about it, too, right, with the Oscars coming up. You know, you have a couple cool movies that were put together, and I'm now forgetting the name of the one about the fucking housing crisis.
The Big Short?
Thank you.
Adam McKay?
The Big Short. Well done film. Really got to follow, though. Like, don't get too stoned, and don't be fucking Sudoku-ing.
Trying to have a kid, so I can't have any weed right now.
Well, then maybe that movie is for you. But you really have to pay attention because there's a lot of details. It's very intricate. It's well done, though. Nonetheless, though, like all those motherfuckers who got bailed, like all those banks ultimately got bailed out by the government.
And they just pocketed
the
cash.
And so all the money that came in, all the CEOs are just like, well, that was terrific. We just totally fucked the world. I'll just take home $60 million. Thanks.
Should we do that
much.
Again in 10 years?
Yeah. Like, and it actually may be happening. So people, you know, beware. I think that whole batch, all the bank leaders and loan folks and all those, mm-hmm. those guys fall under the Roger Goodell kind of category, I guess.
Yeah, the Puppy Bowl Cafe referee. Right. He was terrible. He missed a lot of stuff up at the... So yeah, I just think it's astounding that you could have a year like he did in 2014 and still pull away $34.1 million and keep your job at the same time.
You know, and it's funny. Like he actually took, and part of the problem was he took a bigger responsibility to actually, you know, pay extra attention to like these cases where. You know,
it totally seemed like he detached himself in the situations. I'm on it.
Stop paying attention. You're making it worse. You'll make more money if you don't pay attention. Like that's kind of the rule, which is also, you know, part of the rule of being a good CEO. Well done, Roger.
Well, that'll conclude our NFL. Well, not yet. One more quick note here in the NFL portion. Seattle Seahawks backup quarterback Tavares Jackson will test the free agent market this offseason. Good luck with that.
Well,
32-year-old Tavares Jackson, a backup quarterback, had his chance to start, was pure dog shit. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I
read that headline and I'm like, this is a story. Well, and that, to your point, goes to show how sorry the networks are right now, like NFL Network and ESPN, how sorry they are on NFL News right now. This was like the number three headline in the NFL section on ESPN this morning. Tavares Jackson to test free agency.
That's amazing.
A, who gives a shit? B, yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And he, I mean, well, I don't know why the RG3 thing, perhaps... Going to the Broncos, pending on
that's interesting. But this is Tavares Jackson. I'll tell you what: if you're a fan out there right now and your team, comes out with the news that they're seriously taking a look at Tavares Jackson, that would definitely warrant like a jersey burning in the street. You know, very few situations warrant a jersey burning in the street. That is one where you put a Browns jersey, like the one that's been handed down for generations, where you're like, I've had enough.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, hello, Cleveland.
Moving on here in the hot mess.
Get your, what number is he? Get your number.
He'll take over Johnny Manziel's number two.
I think he's
always like number two or number three, something like that. He'll find one.
That's terrific.
Like my ex-girlfriend's hymen, the NBA All-Star Game records were shattered when the East and West combined for 369 points on Valentine's Day. Still many people weren't loving that. They were pretty pissed about the lack of defense. What are your thoughts on that? You're an NBA guy.
Yeah, well, it did end in 69, though, so which is great for Valentine's
Day. Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
I think that really did.
I bet you like the Westgate would have taken a bet on that. Will the combined final score end in 69?
Someone took that bet. I kind of, you know, when I was young, I used to love the All-Star Weekend. I really did. I thought, you know, obviously the premier event, though, was the dunk competition when I was young, alas.
It wasn't.
Dominique. And, well, see, for me, it was the Dominique and Jordan era.
Well, for the rest of us born in there. Yeah.
So, like, when it was good, I was born at the right time. The rest of you saw a lot of shit.
Right.
And, you know, and the All-Star game was super fun. There was the All-Star game when Magic came back with the HIV, and he ended up winning the MVP.
Karl Malone. Like, I'm not playing. I don't need AIDS. Meanwhile, he's out banging 15-year-old chicks and having illegitimate kids, but he's got a beef with the dude who's got the HIV virus.
Teabagging him. It's really lost. It's just like, it's kind of goofy dudes, you know, back out. They don't play. You got like this weird batch of like young dudes that actually don't play on a regular basis in the dunk competition. Like the most exciting thing, and I remember listening to some announcers in some games leading up to the All-Star break. They were commenting they were really looking forward to the three-point competition.
Why? Because Steph Curry was in it?
I mean, come on. That's like looking forward to, like, God, of all the championships this year, I can't wait for the Bass Pro Fishing Championship. You're like, ah, they're going to reel in a big one.
Well, I mean, it's yeah, it's their job to talk it up. But I agree. The dunk competition, we put a clip on the dud attached to one of our stories the other night. There was it was like 5 minutes of the two finalists. Don't even know their names. It's the kid from Arizona, Eric Gordon. Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
And he ended up losing, which I thought he got dicked out of that. He had quite a few. He lost to the kid from the Timberwolves. It's not even worth looking up. But it was actually pretty intense. It was like very good watching. Which has been rare the last 10 years,
right? But it's still like the you know you need the name brands involved. Like that's when it feels like a competition. It's not just for the other kids that couldn't really make it to the All-Star game, so they got in on like the tangential games, you know. But like the dunk competition should be one of the more exciting things. I remember I've been to one All-Star weekend, which was the day not the main game, but it was like.
The celebrity game?
No. I didn't even get to see
that. I got to see Michael Rapaport go for 27 in Salt Lake City.
No, he would never go for that. He'd have like, he had a record number of picks. Man, he rolled to the hoop well. But what did I see? And they're interminable. As a fan in the stands, mm-hmm. like it's not really that exciting. Like I couldn't even, we watched the rookies versus like the second year players. Mm-hmm. It was one of the early years they did that. We saw the 3-point competition and couldn't even stay that. Like at that point, I'd been there like 11 hours and we haven't even gotten to the dunk competition. Like it's just, they've fucked it all up. They need to reimagine it. Kind of like to give the NHL a little bit of love. Like they've reimagined it and they've added, you know, they've made it more fun. They tweaked some of the like traditional hockey rules and they've just made it more fun. And I think this game is laughable because the guys don't try.
Well, they don't play defense. And I honestly, like I understand why, because I think now more than ever in 2016, you don't want to get hurt. So if you see a 240-pound fucking badass coming down the lane, just get out of the way. Especially if you're Steph Curry, just get out of the way. There's no reason. No reason to like stand in and take a charge.
Unless you're competitive, and then you should fucking take the charge.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of people out of their seats throughout the game. And this is the last thing I want to talk about in the All-Star game. I thought it was just laughable when they came out with the decision. We talked about it on the Daily Upper Decker at dailyupperdecker.com. Check it out every single day. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. Also find us on Vine. Just when you thought like, okay, the NBA All-Star Game halftime show. Let's get a great show that's going to keep all of these people that have paid top dollar to come out and watch the NBA All-Star Game in their seats.
The Sting.
Let's get a 65-year-old white man to play at the NBA All-Star Game halftime show. Yeah. You know what? If the fucking, 190 points in the first half didn't fire you up, wait till you hear Fields of Gold live. Yeah. From Sting. Like, who made that call? Who made that call?
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Roxanne! Oh, me hernia.
He's out there playing with guys who are like on the stage. He's out there. I watched because I had to see this. And he's sporting like one of those like David Letterman beards now. Have you seen Letterman? He's got this huge beard. It's pretty crazy. So he's got like he's one of these old men with one of these huge beards. And he comes out and he's playing. Everyone in the band is like one third his age. Right. And he just sits out there and he starts going through like message in a bottle and every breath you take. And it would have been awesome if they would have brought out P. Diddy, I think, at that point to come in there and start singing like Missing You or something. Right. Then they could have fully redeemed themselves. Like, all right, now I see why you brought him in.
That wouldn't have redeemed anything for me, I have to admit. But
I just think it's hysterical that these people in the NBA league office get paid great money to sit at a table on like a Tuesday afternoon.
Goodell, though.
Yes.
Maybe they need his money, and then they'll come up with
but
something
creative.
But
they make decisions that are about like the same level of greatness of Roger Goodell. On the same level of greatness. I mean, who sat around there? I mean, you got to figure that it wasn't just one person who made this call. This is a table like of like probably 8 to 12 executives or 8 to 12 people in charge of the All-Star Game halftime show. And when they all left, good call. We did great. We have Sting.
Yeah,
I don't.
This is all. I mean, like I said, they just need to rethink the whole thing. I mean, it's just like they have to, and they've been talking. They've actually been talking about this for many years now, as far as trying to revamp you know, some of the energy around it, you know, as you have more and more stars opting out, you know, for the fear of injury, of course.
You're in Toronto. How about Drake? He was there for everything else.
I can't believe that. I was shocked they didn't. Or like Bryan Adams.
Yeah, he's got a new album coming out.
It was a summer of 69.
It's 369 some points.
Guys from school. They need to rethink it because it's really turned into, like, I watched.
I think they're fucking with us, man. I honestly think these sports leagues are fucking with us. They're like, watch, we're gonna put Sting in at the halftime show, and no one's gonna be able to do anything about it.
I watched, and I love basketball, and I watched approximately 0 minutes of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Like, it had no appeal to me whatsoever. Like, I didn't care if, like, Kobe, if they were going to let Kobe, you know, be the MVP. It just was, they need to reinvent. It's become, like, it used to be special, and it's just not anymore.
I think it's hysterical that probably 60% of the crowd wasn't alive when Sting was with the police. Yeah, like, when he got his start.
Yeah, and what are some of these, like, what are some of the dads really saying to their kids? You know, like they care. Oh, I remember when Sting was with the police.
Daddy, I gotta use the bathroom. You'll wait till the third quarter starts, young man.
That's
Sting
right.
Sting is on the stage.
Ridiculous.
You'll wait till those boys come back out here and start playing ball again. That's what we're gonna go to the bathroom. all right, we gotta jump ahead here in the hot mess. We have so much to get to. Let's do two more things here in the hot mess. First up, Sierra says that she and Russell Wilson hug a lot to get through the whole abstinence thing.
Snuggle lug.
How long could you go in a relationship if you weren't having sex? And what are the odds that she has a side dick? Or if she doesn't, how soon is she going to get one at this point?
So this is one question from me and then just sort of like another kind of question.
Well, yeah, we expected like at least one or two other people here tonight. We're down to the, what is it? The diminutive duo. The diminutive duo of the fabulous T-Shawn and Tommy Gimler. So the question is, they hug a lot and they kiss, and that's how they get past the whole abstinence thing.
What is this abstinence? Like, I really didn't.
You didn't know that. So Russell Wilson probably had a lot to do with his first divorce, or his only divorce, I guess. But you know, he was married to a chick with like a fabulously, amazingly huge mouth, and they got divorced. And since then, he's been like a whole god, a god guy, and he's like he can't have, he doesn't have sex. A lot of people think he's gay. But Sierra started dating him, and Russell Wilson is like, I'm abstinent. Sierra, like, she's not. She doesn't want
to
be. Like,
need to say her name with just a little more flourish. Just Sierra.
Sierra.
Yeah.
So Sierra, like, she's sexually active. She wants to be sexually active. She even came out and said, hey, he's an amazing-looking guy. Like, I just want to be able to bang him.
Right.
And, you know, that's paraphrasing. But,
well, and what's interesting, they were both actually at the Grammys last night. They were not photographed together, though, oddly.
Well, she was getting fucked by Lil Wayne.
Well, there we go. Maybe we're coming. Maybe we're coming up with some answers here. Then.
And it wasn't even like she didn't even.
Lil Wayne.
She's so bent up that it was like next to the popcorn stand. It wasn't even she couldn't even wait to get to the bathroom. She's just like fucking doomy. Next to this $8 popcorn.
Yeah, he just so happened to be there with this crazy little shrimp of a dude, his metal mouth. Yeah!
That's Lil Jon.
Oh. He was there too. It was a 2-on-1. Little threesome.
At this point, as a married guy, I still, like, let's say Kate had, you know, whatever. And she did have a thing in the summer where, you know, she had to have like a little operation or whatever, so I couldn't have sex for like 2 months with her. I think maybe 6 weeks it was, something like that. That was a long time. Now, with the beautiful thing in 2016 is that internet porn is a beautiful thing, very accessible, and it gets you through.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, at that 6 weeks, like I was a madman.
Right. Well, all right.
Probably saw me on the golf course. Like, God, Gimler's hitting the shit out of the ball today. And he's not waiting for anybody. So I would say 6 weeks tops for me.
6 weeks tops.
6 weeks. I would have to go get my side boo.
Oh, you would. Okay, I see where we're going with this. I'll go with 4 days.
That's why you're the fabulous T-Shawn. All right. Pretty much the exact opposite here. Our final topic in the hot mess at the Daily Upper Decker. Manny Pacquiao apparently hates gay people. Your thoughts?
I have no thoughts. I mean, this guy, I mean, talk about trying to stay in the news. I mean, this guy.
Well,
on.
All right. So he's running for the Philippine Senate.
Right.
Right. Right? So I honestly think that did he hire the same campaign manager as Donald Trump? No, go ahead, say it. Say it. They are going to love your honesty. Yeah, they're going like, to love your little honesty. Right.
Just come from the heart, man.
It's just common sense, Pacquiao said in the remarks posted online by the TV5 network.
Common sense.
Have you seen any animal having male-to-male or female-to-female relations? Animals, he said, were better because they recognize gender differences. And if you have male-to-male or female-to-female relationships, then people are worse than animals. Your thoughts? Mr. Pacquiao, would you like to rephrase the answer?
I don't really know what to say about that. I thought I would prep for this question.
It's pretty intense, isn't it?
I just... I got nothing for you, man. Like, and this is part of his like platform for running for politics.
What do you think about the cities or the states or the countries? Let's go get up towards the Philippines. They're everything. What do you think about the country's water lack of water? You know, the fact that we're using treated sewage as our water. I don't know about that, but I don't think homosexuals should be able to make the decision on what we drink. Thank you.
I think you do a really good Manny Pacquiao accent.
You know, the crazy thing now, Vegas needs to capitalize on this, and they've got to find a gay boxer and get him in the ring with Manny Pacquiao. They have to capitalize on this.
Oh, man. I hope that guy kicks his ass.
Oh, it would be outstanding, wouldn't it? Manny Pacquiao gets his ass kicked by a gay dude.
What about, like, Michael Sam? Sam's.
Well, that,
was he plural?
Michael Sam? No, yeah, it was just Michael Sam. So, I want to see Michael Sam box Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Saturday night on Fox.
Michael Sam would be angry. Like, he never got to play in the NFL, really. Mm-hmm. And he would be pissed off. I mean, my money's on him.
It would be an intense fight. I like it. I think you're onto something, the fabulous T-Shawn. It would be intense, almost as intense as Dabbing with Cam. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our best segments. We went back. We tracked it. Like, the most listened to segments. Here at the Daily Upper Decker, the most listened to segments happen when T-Shawn reads NFL erotica novels. Uh-huh. And thanks to Cam Newton, boy, you know, this came out pre-Super Bowl, like, or, you know, right around the Super Bowl. So they actually have him as the NFL MVP, but they also have him as the world champion. So he won the Super Bowl. And the whole gist of this novel, Dabbing with Cam, written by Caroline Blue. Get it? Like Carolina Blue, like Caroline Blue.
Oh, all right. I guess
the whole gist of the novel is that this woman wins a trip to the Super Bowl to see Cam Newton play, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton chucks a ball out of bounds as he's getting blitzed up the middle, in parentheses, getting blitzed up the middle. So he throws the ball out of bounds, and he notices that he throws it right at this poor young lady, but she catches the ball. And then after that, it was like a good luck charm for the Panthers, and they go on to win the game. Now,
it sounds a little upsetting to me. I don't know. It seems really like fantasy.
Now, keep in mind, I paid 99 cents for this fantasy. 99 cents. Actually, Katie did on her Capital One Venture card. So that I think we're going to get 1.98 points. For that purchase.
Samuel L. Jackson thanks you.
Well, I think he was the Quicksilver card, but the venture card is Jennifer.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, Jennifer Garner, right.
Jennifer Love Hewitt Electra. Would be like the Discover card, because you got to figure she would rep anything, right?
She's like the Kohl's.
The Kohl's charge. Like the Kohl's food store card charge, and there's only like two Kohl's foods. Anyway, So this leads up. This is Dabbing with Cam. I paid 99 cents, and I've already found at least 99 spelling errors or grammatical errors.
It's like 26 cents too much.
It's just like, get it up. It's almost like, here, hold a rabbit up against your crotch, young lady, and write whatever comes out, and then as soon as you're done, it's over. And it does, like, you'll be reading, and the word who is actually how, though should be thought. Shit like that. Just okay. little things like that. And that pisses me off. I paid 99 cents for this.
I'm going to have to read through that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. If I would have paid $4.99, I would actually get on and ask for my money back. I'd be like, there are too many grammatical errors. This is not a novel. This is a 16-year-old's you know, 16-year-old's thesis.
That sounds good reading. I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the fabulous T-Sean as he reads from Dabbing with Cam, the latest NFL erotica novel. Now, T-Sean, I would love for you to start where it says, I couldn't help myself.
Right, right. And are you going to guide me to what I'm supposed to read?
Yeah, so you'll read, keep reading from there, and then I'll stop you. Once you get to a certain point, I'll
stop
you.
What if I get really worked up and I just have to keep reading?
I'll get you a towel. Keep going. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's the Daily Upper Decker. The fabulous T-Sean reading from Dabbing with Cam, the latest NFL erotica novel. Exclusive. Daily Upper Decker, exclusive.
Right. Here we go. I couldn't help myself. I was a sex-starved junior accountant trying to make her way up the corporate ladder, but not today. Not right now. Right now, I was a horny, lustful voyeur. Who couldn't find the strength to lift her eyes beyond groin level? One word came to mind. Hung. 8 inches to my left, 9 inches to my right. There goes another 7 to 9, I thought.
Right,
and they aren't
right
even
there.
Hard
so is
yet.
Is she talking about like Greg Olson or is this Michael Orr?
I don't know. He's with a
Jonathan Stewart?
She's
who are
definitely
we about
with.
Here?
I don't know. I mean, she's
8 inches.
With,
when she goes down to 7, that's probably Greg Olson.
Like, where? Like, yeah. nothing to be ashamed of, Greg.
All right, so we've already got one spelling error.
No,
go ahead.
True.
Keep going. You're doing great. Actually. This is beautiful.
Keep going? Okay. Oh, yeah. First time I heard a voice say as I looked up, oh, my gosh, I'm so... The man laughed.
All right, so now stop. Stop right there. Is this not the Barry Murphy, Patrick Ewing dick story? Just like 20 years later, right? So, you know, the Daily Upper Decker's Barry Murphy one time had to do a story for the Bulls. You know, he's interning with the Chicago Bulls, and he's in there, and Patrick Ewing walks out of the shower, and his dick is just hanging all the way down past his knees, and Murph is just, he's Irish, and he's just sitting there staring at him. And someone yells, hey, kid, we don't do that here.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, Patrick Ewan was over 7 feet tall. So, like, down below his knee is, like, that is a swinging dick right there.
Yeah, if you put it up at the top of his head, it could touch the rim. All right, so now swipe left over there go to in between. Okay. Yeah, in between 520 and 528, and you'll see the phrase, just like that, question mark.
520
to 528.
Okay, we're working on it.
And it'll say, just like that, question mark?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The Daily Upper Decker Theater. Tonight's reading, Dabbing with Cam, an NFL erotica novel. The fabulous T-Sean. Go ahead, buddy.
Just like that? Yep. I sent our tight end deep into the red zone, and we scored. You scored in the red zone? Oh, yeah. We scored all right.
And all right, so stop. I'm sorry. I should set this up. So Cam Newton is telling her what she did, or Cam Newton is telling her what they did, and then she's like, the red zone? Penetration in the backfield? Go.
Oh, yeah, we scored all right. And it fired up our defense, too. They started getting penetration in the backfield. Penetration in the backfield? Yeah. The holes were closing before they could even push through. No penetration in the holes?
All right, now stop. Is hole there not spelled W-H-O-L-E?
Yes.
That's not the hole we're looking for there. Yeah. We're looking for just the H. The W is silent.
Oh, no W here. No.
Oh, but it's in there. You'll see it.
Yeah, okay. Cam stood to better make his point. Yeah. They couldn't create holes for penetration. Our offense got a quick blow, and we were back at it. A quick blow? Yeah, a quick blow in between possessions is a lifesaver. A lifesaver? Yep. First play we ran, an end around, and almost scored again. Two scores? Yep. Multi-scoring situation. Shot right through the two hole. Oh, the two hole? Yeah, you know. When you get down in the opponent's territory, you just have to open a hole and keep pounding in it. Pound in the open hole.
Is that where it's W-H-O-L-E?
Yes.
All right. And scene. Definitely. All right. Very good. Very good. And then we have one more. One more. Now, this is where she couldn't take it anymore, right? So she just started ripping off her Cam Newton jersey that she was wearing, and she threw it off to the side. And you're going to want to go to 596 to 603, somewhere in there, and it'll be, I felt my confidence soar. This is T'Shawn, the fabulous T'Shawn, reading Dabbing with Cam, an NFL erotica novel. And the scene he is about to read is where Caroline Blue has jumped into the hot tub, his lucky tank. His lucky tank with Cam Newton. Right. And Cam Newton tank. And Caroline Blue are having sex in the hot tub in Dabbing with Cam, an NFL erotica novel. Go ahead.
I felt so free and like a bird. Or should I say a panther in the jungle? And like a panther, I now decided it was time to hunt, or at least be hunted. I pulled my Cam jersey over my head and threw it on the massage table nearby. I ripped open my blouse like Superman. That's how we do it, Cam said. I flipped off my shoes and slid off my pants. Only my bra and panties remained.
Perfect. Swipe left. Swipe left one more. Now they're actually in the hot tub going at it.
My hand continued down the goal line. Before I even got close, I could feel his goalpost. At that moment, I knew why he was really referred to as the Man of Steel. His manliness was bigger than I'd even seen, ever seen. I wasn't one for watching naughty movies much, but had seen a few in college. It wasn't only his length. His girth was equally impressive. I ran my hands up and down his shaft and then slid them around and grabbed that amazing behind. Two halves of molten lava made of steel apples.
Steel apples. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. Round of applause wherever you are out there right now, ladies and gentlemen. That is the fabulous T'Shawn reading from Dabbing with Cam. If you've got 99 cents to spare,
buy it.
It's actually a lot of fun just paying 99 cents to count up all the spelling mistakes. It's great. You know,
I'm going to say this is not as good as the Gronk erotica.
Oh, yeah, but it was just some. I'll tell you what, like this, I could write that. I could write that shit. We should all, like, you know, get one of these, like, pot brownie nights or something like that. Go in and tell one of these doctors that our back hurts or we can't sleep really well and get a pot brownie. Sit and write all this shit and put it together and just call it, like, whatever, like a Tony Romo erotica novel, right? And print it and then, like, send it to Manny Pacquiao when he comes out and says that was a good book. Say, yeah, two dudes wrote this. I'm saying we got something there. Good work, buddy. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment, The Pile.
The Pile.
We'll go quick here today. We don't have a lawyer to represent these people, so it's it's basically just standing before you here.
All right.
And you let them know right away. All right, okay. First up here in The Pile, Tito Ortiz, the MMA fighter, was cited for misdemeanor battery against a woman at Dre's nightclub. It was over a cell phone dispute because I think the woman said that she thought that Tito was, like, pissed because Tito thought that he was watching her take a picture. There's something like that. It was a cell phone dispute. And he, like, whipped the woman around.
So for me, as I reviewed the notes, I actually thought this was some sort of new dance, kind of like dabbing or the Dougie.
The whip around. The nay-nay whip around. Yeah.
Or you know, or the twist, mm-hmm. you know, from the Chubby Checker era, which is more my time. So I don't know really what the problem is. And, you know, I've had a cell phone dispute of my own every now and then. So I don't really see the problem.
And I think the judge and the police there that night didn't arrest him, so I think they're going with that as well. I think he must have said, like, hey, I was just dancing.
The whip around. I mean, unless it was a bad dance, like, that's the crime.
Yeah, it really is. And Tito Ortiz seems like the guy who can dance. So I don't think that was it. And I think it's all going to go by the wayside, because if the cops don't even arrest you that night and they just cite you or something, that's a good sign. All right. Moving on here in The Pile. Shiloh, is it? K-E-O.
K-O.
I love it. The Broncos safety is still celebrating the team's Super Bowl win a little too much as he was arrested for DUI early Saturday morning.
You know, it's tough when you're not a starter and you can't. I feel like I'm defending these guys. Suddenly I'm in the role of defending them.
But you always defend these guys. I mean, you are the judge the players want to be brought, before.
You know, he doesn't make as much money as a lot of the starters. And, you know, every player, I mean, truth be told, like, if you can't afford the limo, take an Uber.
Well, I think this happened somewhere in Idaho. Like he played at Idaho. He's from Idaho, and something tells me there's not a lot of taxis up there. And if there aren't taxis, odds are there is an Uber.
I've been to Idaho, and they actually have Broncos there, which is weird.
If you're in Idaho, just get a broad to take you home. Just say, hey, I play for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
anybody?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pay your 10 grand, go through the process. I hope you didn't hurt anybody.
Pick up some garbage. All right, moving on here. Josh Morgan in the pile. Right, the former NFL wide receiver was charged with reckless use of a firearm after he shot himself while cleaning his gun. Obviously, he played for the Bears. Now, here's something I want to bring before the judge. If he's not an NFL player, odds are it's one of those things, like in Wisconsin – or Missouri or Kansas, any bumblefuck state out there.
Yeah.
If you shoot yourself while cleaning your gun, everybody makes fun of you down at like Willie's Tap on that night when you lip in there like, look at this dumb motherfucker. He shot himself while cleaning his fucking gun.
Which, and sometimes is punishment enough.
Right. So is it really necessary, Your Honor, to charge him with reckless use of a firearm after he shot himself? I'm pretty sure he learned his lesson. The bullet went in him.
It's a total Plaxico situation, as I like to call it. Does he still play? He's not on a team.
No, he's a former wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Tough week for the pile. Week.
Yeah.
It's not even Josh Gordon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's not him. He got shot. Like, they charged him. I don't know.
That's a tough thing. You got to dismiss that charge.
No. Pick up your garbage. Actually, this is where that pertains. Wear the orange vest and go pick up some garbage.
That's a nice abbreviated version of the pile, which leaves us with one more segment. Despite the fact that there's just you and I here.
All right.
It's you against yourself tonight. All right.
Well, let's see if I win.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for my favorite segment, brought to you by the Daily Upper Decker. It's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
Great, great sponsor, dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and of course on Vine. A good one. We re-vined it today. Canadian hockey referee hitting the balls with a can of beer that was thrown from the crowd.
Oh, yeah, eh?
Tough one. Great aim. Didn't miss.
Beauty.
All right, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue was released on Monday. Did you see it?
I haven't seen
any pictures,
actually. Okay.
So I'm actually one of those guys,
of year, right?
Despite the fact that you can jump online at any time and see two broads scissoring each other, two Russian girls just trying to make a buck here in this country, just tribbing each other, just rubbing humples. You can see that anytime you want. I'm still a big fan of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And I think it has to do with the fact that these swimsuits are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And this year it seemed like tops were optional.
Oh, all right. Terrific.
It was outstanding. So
you're saying you've looked into the tangible.
I looked at it online.
All right, so you didn't.
I don't have the actual magazine.
I thought you were carrying. Well, you had 99 cents to buy this other piece of shit. What is the swimsuit? That's
probably like $6-7.
$6-7.
Yeah. Well, this year's magazine features Ronda Rousey, Caroline Wozniacki, and Lindsey Vonn wearing nothing but body paint. So three good athletes there wearing nothing but body paint.
Okay.
Derek Jeter's fuck buddy, Hannah Davis, is in there again.
All right.
And then there's one fat chick. So there's three covers. One is like a beautiful girl. The other one's Ronda Rousey, and the other one's a fat broad because it's 2016,
it's
and you got to say that.
Body sensitive.
Well, if she cared about her body, she wouldn't be fat. I'm going to ask you this question. We'll rattle through this here.
Okay, I'm ready.
So again, Ronda Rousey,
yeah.
Caroline Wozniacki, and Lindsey Vonn were all
all
in there, right? So those are big names.
They're all big names, all representing unconventional sports, though, as well.
Right. But there's also like models and sometimes actresses or models that are models first and then they go on to be actresses. So is this the name of a woman who once appeared in the swimsuit issue or not?
All right.
There we go. Number one, Lisa Leslie. Lisa Leslie. You know who she is?
Yeah, she's a basketball player.
WNBA player, correct. Right. So basketball, like, let's put that in quotes.
All right, fair enough.
She's
she was a good player, though. I think she was in it.
That is incorrect. Oh. That is incorrect. She was never in it. Lisa Leslie.
So some of these are like the real people who may or may not have been in it. Like, you haven't made up names.
Yeah, all 11 people are real.
I feel duped because usually you make up names. All right, that's fine.
All these people
are real. I haven't played this in a while. That's fine. Okay.
That's all right. Well, it's kind of a practice run for next week.
Let's go.
Is this the name of a woman who once appeared in the swimsuit issue or not? Kim Basinger.
Yes.
That is incorrect. She once appeared in Playboy. But not in the swimsuit edition, which is good because I got myself some Basinger Bush. That was a good one. But it would have been disappointing if she would have been in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue and not Playboy. You could also see her kind of naked in 8 Mile.
8 Mile is true.
Riding that fucking
as Eminem's mom.
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
All right, so you're 0 for 2. 0 for 2.
All right, well, okay.
Vicky Fuller. Vicky Fuller.
Vicky Fuller.
Vicky Fuller. Not Vicky Fuller House.
Right.
Have you seen that yet?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't watch the first Full House.
Vicky Fuller. Well, I mean, one of these has got to pan out. I'll go with yes.
Didn't watch the first Full House. Don't give two shits if it's Fuller now.
Right. Is that your Manny Pacquiao again?
Manny Pacquiao. Describing whether or not he watches Fuller. Vicky Fuller, you say she's in?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. That's my aunt. That's my aunt, Vicky Fuller.
All right.
Aunt Vicky.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah, I played with a Vicky on the golf course yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And the other, her partner was Charlene. That's my mom's name.
Oh.
So Charlene and Aunt Vicky. Yeah, I was too nervous. I didn't shoot well at all.
Not Shirley?
No. It's,
I know.
Is this the name of a woman who once appeared in the swimsuit issue or not? Danica Patrick.
Yes, she's been in.
Yes, she is. All right, you redeemed yourself. 1 and 3. All right.
I don't know if I did, but
tough name to pronounce. You might recognize her from another GoDaddy ad. This is the girl who once made out with the dork. Remember it? Any people got pissed about that? Remember that ad, the Super Bowl ad a couple years ago, where you had the dork who looked like the kid from like Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Except even more of a dork and worthless piece of shit.
I recall.
So, yeah, she was the model who made out with him. Now, her name is Bar Rafaeli. Bar Rafaeli.
Bar Rafaeli. But and
no, I went online and found out how to pronounce it. It's Bar Rafaeli.
All right, fair enough.
You want to hear it?
I believe she's Brazilian, and she did go out with Leo DiCaprio.
That's where this name came from.
Yeah. So
remember, because we did one like a month and a half ago. Is this a girl who got, you know, diddled by DiCaprio or not?
Diddled by D.
Bar Rafaeli.
Yes, she was in it.
That is correct. Serena Williams.
Has she been in the? I'll go with no. She was in the ESPN, the magazine.
Right.
Body
correct.
Issue.
Correct. I thought that one of you guys might get confused there. Right. Altenberg would have said yes. That's So you got that right. So you started out 0-3. You're back 3-3.
Of course I am.
You're like the Vanderbilt Commodores in SEC play. They started out 0-3.
Stronger than that.
0-3, and now all of a sudden they're doing really well. Don't sleep on the Commodores in the tournament.
All right. They have a weird court.
Kara Petrie.
I don't know if I know who that is. So I will say no.
That is correct. She's my cousin.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm on fire.
You know, you don't want to see your cousin in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but
depends on your cousin.
Yeah, because none of my cousins really could be in a Sports Illustrated.
Well, right.
It's a tough gene pool.
That's the place you're coming from, though.
Tough gene pool. All right. Gabriella Reese.
Yes.
Yes, she was in. Good job, Carol Alt.
Carol Alt, definitely.
Do you know that or no?
Yeah.
She's like 56 now.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
She's probably been in it like 6 times.
Well, you're like 48. So you would know that.
I'm getting there.
All right. And finally, Nina Agdal.
Say it again.
Nina Agdal.
Nina Agdal. No.
That is incorrect, Sean. That is incorrect. So you were 6-4. Good job. That makes you a champion. I think if you finished over 500, you did great. I want to show you this picture right here. This is Nina Agdal in this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yeah,
and that qualifies as a swimsuit. I'm telling you guys.
Where is she from? Buongiorno, Nina. Or what
I don't give a shit where she's from. She's definitely not from Wisconsin, I'll tell you that.
Nina.
Nina Agdal. Well, great shit, man. I thought we did great. We were the diminutive duo. Can you take us out with 30 more seconds of Dabbing with Cam? Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you follow us every single day at dailyupperdecker.com, also on Facebook, on Twitter, at dailyupperdeck, and Vine. We're leaving you now with 30 more seconds of the fabulous T-Shawn reading from Dabbing with Cam, another NFL erotica novel.
I couldn't take it anymore. I slid forward, way forward. And back down. His goalpost slid into my open hole.
The two hole?
The number two hole.
Oh, yeah!
For the inches weren't even close to the appropriate term. More like first down and goal. I was the first girl to go down on him and score with him since he became the MVP of the big game. He thrust so hard. The water splashed onto the floor.
That's pretty much the exact opposite ending of Super Bowl 50.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.